Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Get ready for the best hour of your grid day.
You heard it here first. The best hour of your day on Sports Grid starts now with your host, Kevin Walsh.
One of the easy ones, Donnie, where you look at it and the complaint starts to be, how about not bet that for more? You know what I mean? Like,
and Donnie Wrightside.
And I would like to see all the weight and anger and might of the NCAA/Big Ten smash that program into smithereens for the next 3 years.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
The party, people. You know what it is. The best hour of your day right here on the Sports Grid Network. It is time for Moneyline. I am Donnie Wrightside, and I will be on a solo mission today, tomorrow, Thursday. Yes, Kevin will be back. We'll have some fun. We'll open up the NFL lines once again and really get after it. But we're going to have some fun today. Some of this hot topics come through. We're going to spend some time on the NFL today. You know, we're going to see why all these injuries are happening. Now, granted, I don't know why technically, but we're going to analyze like what the heck is going on and why are these young quarterbacks playing? And there's a reason why scoring is down in the NFL. It's bad quarterback play. As we just get an update here that Justin Fields is doubtful for tomorrow night's game versus the Panthers. So Tyson Bagent will be back under center, and rightfully so. Bagent hasn't been the issue with the Bears, even though he was, quite frankly, a turnover machine against the New Orleans Saints. Nobody's going to argue that. But Fields, was he really lighting up the NFL world before he got injured? Actually, had a couple decent games here. But Fields probably itching to get back to say, hey, Chicago Bears, I can still be the top guy here. Please do not leave me out. And once I get back under center, I will show you that I am a franchise guy. Huge NBA card tonight. Because why? There were no NBA games yesterday whatsoever because they wanted to get out the vote. And I guess it worked. I don't know if it didn't, but oh well, we have enough games tonight where only two teams are not in action tonight. That's the Atlanta Hawks, and that is the Orlando Magic, who actually will meet up tomorrow on the 9th. So there you go. But the Philadelphia 76ers taking on the Boston Celtics tonight. The Celtics are a slight favorite. Wembanyama heads to the Big Apple to take on the New York Knicks. That's a 10-point line as a favorite towards the New York Knicks. And also Brooklyn, Brooklyn is taking on the Los Angeles Clippers. That's an extended stay here for the Clippers in New York City. It's the last time they were out, they battled the Knicks in a loss. So the superstars will be shining tonight in New York City. Because why? James Harden hopes to rebound and get a victory here for his Clippers after that loss against the Knicks, which actually played 31 minutes in game number one. We'll see how much he plays tonight. But a favorite here, nonetheless, for the road team Clippers. Ben Simmons in that game, you know you don't want to look towards his points, right? But the guy's a rebounding machine at this point. Every single game that he's played in, he's got at least 9 rebounds. That's the low end of it. Last game out for Ben Simmons, 15 rebounds for him. A little more late night action tonight if you want that. It's the Golden State Warriors and the Denver Nuggets. That line sitting at 3.5 at most outlets as a favorite towards the home team, Denver Nuggets, in that game. All right, so there you go. By the way, heavy favorites tonight. Milwaukee Bucks at home against the Detroit Pistons, and away we go. Lakers Rockets might pique your interest tonight, but we should get a pretty clean slate because nobody in the NBA is on back-to-backs tonight. Having said that again, there were no action yesterday on the NBA courts because it was voting day in the United States, and tonight everybody is back in action. But during the show today, we're going to take a look at a lot of things. And that includes taking a quick little sneak peek here at college basketball, what's been going on around there. Games are starting to heat up this weekend in college basketball. Some ranked versus ranked action of the Duke Blue Devils are going to be at home, I believe, Friday against the Arizona Wildcats. So that should get things started. And the next couple weeks will be interesting. There'll be a lot of horrendous college basketball games and some pretty good ones mixed in there. But as we know, the season really gets underway once conference basketball play starts in full, and that's typically after the first of the year. year, which is why the NFL carries through that section. Then the college basketball hardwood heats up, and away we go. Now, there were some interesting games last night. Auburn and Baylor. Baylor pulls out the victory over Auburn at the Pentagon. Not the Pentagon over there in Washington, D.C. No, this is the Pentagon in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. You're going to get some of these interesting environments that these teams are going to play at, because a lot of these are actually played on neutral court sites. So some things to take a look at here. Also, we're going to preview, talked about it this morning on the early line if you guys were watching, MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year on offense and defense, and also Coach of the Year to see where they've been swinging back and forth. And also, for one of those times, people, the NFL MVP, it's not a clear-cut race. It just isn't here. There's a lot of players involved in the MVP race, maybe right up to the end. Why? Because no quarterback is technically setting the world on fire with their statistics right now. So you're looking at opportunities where maybe a Trevor Lawrence can sneak in there, grab an MVP. Christian McCaffrey under 30-1 to win an MVP. And by the way, he's 30-1 to win an MVP, which is insane too, because running backs typically never win it. I believe the last MVP, I want to say, Adrian Peterson, I believe, was the last non-quarterback to win MVP in the NFL. It doesn't happen all that much. But can McCaffrey steal it? By the way, McCaffrey and the Niners have lost three straight games. We're going to take a look at the game this weekend up against the Jacksonville Jaguars, where that's probably the last team you wanted to face coming off the bye. One of the hottest teams in the NFL at home, and you're struggling here with three straight losses. So obviously, everything is going to be ramped up. But good enough for the 49ers. Hairline fracture, so should I say hairline shoulder fracture for Deebo Samuel. Missed the past two games, got the bye week here. He is questionable this week versus Jacksonville. That is a key cog in their offense. Also taking a look at possibility of maybe getting Trent Williams back, your superstar left tackle, still dealing with that right ankle sprain. He also will be questionable this week against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So Brock Purdy, 34-1. Christian McCaffrey, 29-1. Sort of side by side there. We're going to take a look at a deep dive analysis here to who should win that and who certainly should be favored to win that at that point. Also, last night, we did have the college football playoff show. Nothing has changed there. Now, you can get angry with that, which again, the show means absolutely nothing. So don't get worked up. It's going to figure itself out on the field. And this weekend, we finally start to get to some of those what we believe would be elimination games. Penn State is going to take on Michigan. Noon kickoff on Saturday. Cannot wait for that football game here, because we don't know which Michigan team is actually going to show up. The team that's able to steal signals and cheat on one side, has that been taken away? Also, Penn State's offense that was in quicksand against Ohio State when they stepped up in competition, will they be able to handle and answer the bell against Michigan's defense here? We'll find that out. And also, I love the fact that the game is on at noon, because I'll be able to watch it and be up entirely. But that game in Happy Valley this weekend, honestly, it should be a whiteout game. But dollars rule in college football, we get that. That's why that game is noon, because why? The networks say it's at noon. If Penn State had any, you know, reason for this game not to be at noon, they'd say, hey, look, man, we are going to have the best atmosphere in college football tonight. It's going to be a whiteout, and it's going to be insane. But television is always going to win out over sometimes what's actually best for the college football experience. Also, take a look at the Heisman Trophy odds a little bit later on in the show. Is Michael Penix Jr. the leader in the clubhouse? Should he be the leader in the clubhouse? And some big doings down south in the SEC this weekend, which includes those Alabama Crimson Tide. But before we go to break here, Scott Boras believes that the pitch clock has led to a rash of injuries among starting pitchers. What? Knock it off, Scott. Whoa! What do we mean? Everybody's getting stopped. The madness in baseball. The pitch clock is wonderful. I'm Donnie Wrightside. This is Moneyline, and you are listening to the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. It's Moneyline, Donnie Wrightside on the Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM channel 159. College football here, just to take a look at that game this weekend between Michigan and Penn State and which way that you might want to lean. Taking a look in, let me just check a look across the board in this football game here, because I want to get a look at many, many different outlets here. That is a 12 noon kickoff. So let me just find exactly where we were at here. Alabama, Kentucky, that's also another noon game. So some decent action this Saturday off the board right away. But if we're looking across, FanDuel opened up that game, Michigan, Penn State, 5.5. They currently sit at FanDuel at 4.5. Also, DraftKings right now showing up at a -4 price point. But primarily across the board, it's 4.5. A really low total in this game. Penn State, Michigan, 45.5 at FanDuel. 45s look like the prevailing line, though, however, across the board. These two football teams, just giving a quick eyeball, and again, I just said it's 45. Let's just say 45.5. We'll call it even there. It's going to be 45 as an even number. 40.7 points per game Michigan averages on offense. Penn State, 40.2 points per game. So if you left the defenses out, this game should be sitting at an 80. But that's why we don't leave the defenses out. They're two really good defenses. Michigan gives up 6.7 points per game on defense. That's incredible. Penn State not that far behind, 11.9. If we're breaking down defensive metrics here, rush yards per game against Michigan, 91 yards per game, 3.1 yards per rushing attempt. That's phenomenal. But look at Penn State. 59.2 yards per game on the ground they give up, which is an average of 2.0 rush yards per attempt. That's incredible. Flip it over to the defenses here this week. Penn State comes in at 175.7 yards per game they give up, which is phenomenal. 6.2 yards per passing attempt. Michigan, 141.3 yards per game through the air. A paltry 5.7 pass yards per attempt. So there you go. That's a low line, but two really good offenses. And by the way, I guess you could take a look at Drew Aller, the Penn State Nittany Lions quarterback. He's thrown for close to 2,000 yards on the season here. QBR, which is an ESPN metric that they use, is a 73.7. That's top 25 in college football. But how about this number? You always take a look at a quarterback, particularly a young quarterback, being able to handle the football, you know, drive the offense. Don't put yourselves in bad spots. 20 touchdown passes to one interception for Drew Aller. That's fantastic. Now, if we take a look at his season-long numbers, right, close to 2,000 passing yards, he hasn't necessarily lit the world on fire. Game number one that he played this year in his first start at home against West Virginia, 21 of 29 for 325 yards, 3 touchdowns and no interceptions. That's tremendous. That was his high watermark, passing-wise, this season. Versus Delaware, 204 yards. Now, granted, probably missed a good majority of that game because they won 63-7, 22 of 26 passing attempts, or 22 completions, out of 26 attempts. That's pretty good. But as you start to roll down there, 208 against Illinois, 166 against Iowa. But keep in mind, you're winning handily in these football games. 17-point win at Illinois, Iowa at home, 31-0 in that game. He then paced on the road, Northwestern, 41-13. He only throws for 189 yards. You take on UMass at home, that rainy game. They won 63-0. He only had 162 yards passing in that game. Then came the Ohio State game, which they were an absolute mess in that one. He finished 18 of 42 for 191 yards. One touchdown, no interceptions there. Indiana game, he threw for 210. Maryland game, he threw for 240. But in that game, had 4 touchdown passes and no interceptions. The reason I'm bringing it up, because the key to Penn State is not if their defense can hold down Michigan. It's can Drew Aller in the big moments step up to the plate and have a decent performance. 250-plus passing yards, 2 or more touchdown passes. Keep your team in that game. If we look at some of the passing statistics for that game on Saturday coming up from the FanDuel Sportsbook, J.J. McCarthy's listed at 240 yards. Drew Aller, only 187. So if you think Penn State can win this football game, and Drew Aller's going to throw for like a, let's just call it 185 yards or less, how does that happen? I don't think it does. And also, if we're taking a look at Drew Aller, touchdown passing props in this game. J.J. McCarthy is 1.5, and that's at a minus 102 price. You take a look at Drew Aller, 1.5 also, but a plus 162 price in this game. The anytime touchdown market is actually pretty even in this game. Because so many times you'll see a running back that we figure scores a ton, and you would be correct on Blake Corum, right? Well, Blake Corum in this game is actually listed here at a minus 170 price to score an anytime touchdown. Now, if anybody's watched Michigan football, the one thing that we know is obviously Corum, 22-year-old young running back, came back this season, banged up a little bit, but they love to get him touchdowns. They really do. So I'm just bringing up the season-long log here just to give you guys an idea of what that minus 170 price entails here. Because if we go season-long, he sounds a little bit like Christian McCaffrey times two. ECU to open the season for Corum, one touchdown. UNLV, three touchdowns. Bowling Green, two touchdowns. Rutgers, two touchdowns. Nebraska, one touchdown. Minnesota, one touchdown. Indiana, two touchdowns. Michigan State, one touchdown. Purdue, three touchdowns. Now, typically you say to yourself, yeah, he's probably running wild, right? 15 carries, 100-plus yards every single game. Do you know Blake Corum is only going over 100 yards one time this season, and that was against Bowling Green? That's it. ECU 73 yards, UNLV 80, Rutgers 97, Nebraska 74, Minnesota 69, Indiana 52, Michigan State 59, Purdue 44. How about that? So on the goal line, Hayes getting the football and doesn't really catch passes either, guys. You're taking a look at what? Are we 10 games into the season? 9 games into the season for Michigan. It's got 10 total catches for 63 yards and no touchdown receptions here. So if you're looking for, if I'm just being honest with myself, Drew Aller has to step up to the table this weekend. He's got to go over that passing prop. And Blake Corum to record a touchdown. It sounds expensive at minus 170. But it's the same thing if I tell you this Sunday afternoon, which we're going to take a look at that game as well. Down in Jacksonville. Hey, by the way, Christian McCaffrey, anytime touchdown market, do you want it? No, I don't want that. What, are you kidding me? You know they're going to be in the red zone. You know who they give the football to. And it's the same way today that I'm looking at Blake Corum. He's got to be able to score a touchdown in this game. He just does. Now, if we're looking at from a fan perspective, if you like Michigan, guys, yeah, of course you're going to cheer for Michigan. If you like Penn State, you're going to do the same thing. But how about the national level here? Is the rooting against just for Michigan now for being exposed with their cheating operation? Because the one thing that we do love in this country is payback. We love to see somebody who's doing the wrong thing get drilled for it here, right? Say hello to the bad guy. Yeah, we want the bad guy to go away. And right now it seems like that's Michigan in the crosshairs. So there's two ways that this game can actually play out on a national stage, right? Penn State gets the win, the country rejoices, and Michigan falls, and ha-ha, see what happens when you can't actually cheat? You can't win football games, Jim, you cheater. Or does Michigan play, this is Michigan versus the world? Let's go out here and pound Penn State into, as Mike Tyson says, Bolivian. Could that happen? It's going to be a good one. That line, 4.5 points as a favorite towards Michigan, down from the 5.5 and sixes that you saw in that opening line. Low totals, we said, people, right around 45. It's going to be a barn burner in the Big Ten on Saturday. Let's flip it over to the NFL next. I'm Donnie Wrightside, and you are listening to the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wednesday afternoon, Raider on the Grid. It's Moneyline. I am Donnie Wrightside, solo mission. Tomorrow, K-Dub will be back with us. And away we go into some fun, but a lot of hot topics here. We're hitting on a Wednesday hump day before we flip it back over to the NFL, which does start back up tomorrow night on a snooze fest of a ball game between the Carolina Panthers and the Chicago Bears. Let's hit the phone lines, have some fun here. 844-843-6879. First guy up today. No surprise. Who is it? The Moose. He's ready to go on a Wednesday afternoon right here on the Grid. What's up, Moose?
I tell you what, reporting live from Mississippi, from
there we go.
Rivage, 81 degrees, had a lovely Louisiana crab stuffed flounder today for lunch. Yesterday I had went over to an old French restaurant that hotel that was established in 1727. Outstanding food, very reasonable prices, beautiful people. Now I'm just sitting here with a nice ice-cold Heineken, and I am laughing my living rump roast off about Connor Stallion. Like I told you before, when he was on the sidelines of the college game, let's make a few notes here, okay?
Yes.
And you can go online, and do you realize that Connor wrote a 500-page manifesto on how he was going to plot at one day basically to be a main member of that team's up north coaching staff? And and several of his quotes were rather telling, that he would go on no ends to be a member of that team. Now, let's take a look at those sunglasses he was wearing. And if you take a look at that individual that they're saying 99% is Colin Stallion, he has no press credentials around his neck, and he's wearing sunglasses at night. You take a little bit closer look at those sunglasses, okay? You can have recording devices in those sunglasses, okay? It's not hard at all. I once put a cast on my arm, and I had a wire in that cast, all right, because I knew that they were going to shake me down pretty hard. So there's various ways of wearing wires and concealing stuff. So, and yesterday I saw a picture of Harbaugh. Man, he looked stressed out. He looked absolutely stressed out. So, what happens if he jumped ship? You think he'd be a perfect coach, or you think he would go in there with that Urban Meyer attitude with a pro team? You know, Raiders pick him up?
Yeah, he's going pro.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's going pro.
Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, but this is what I need from you, DRS.
Yes.
I listened to you. I caught some of you earlier, and I picked up on that Ben Simmons 10-plus rebounds today.
Yeah, come on.
I'd like to add something to that parlay. Okay, what could I add for a good, juicy two parlay? What could I add to that Ben Simmons bet?
Yeah, there's a big NBA slate. Yeah, we'll get a little bit of that a little bit later in the show, Moose, on that. But, like, Ben Simmons is a rebound machine right now. He's going to have more rebounds this year than points, which sounds ridiculous for an NBA player. But that's on the trend he has. Every single game he's played is at least 9 rebounds. And today his rebound number, basically at even money, is 10 rebounds. So we're going to have to try to hook something up here for a nice little juicy part of that parlay to come down the line. Because there's a lot of options today in the NBA for that to happen. But good to see that Moose is enjoying himself. Little Southern hospitality down there. Maybe if he dabbles in a little cards or craps tonight, may the gambling gods be with him as well. Let's flip it back over to the NFL and have some fun talking about this. The seasonal awards, right? The MVP market. I got to tell you, it's really up in the air in the NFL this season. Usually you have a quarterback that's on a record-setting pace and running away with everything. Now, if you look at the odds market, I'm just using the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, just as a backdrop. Patrick Mahomes is a plus 240 price to win MVP. That is really low. But Jalen Hurts is behind him at 320. Lamar Jackson at 5-1. Tua Tagovailoa, plus 650. Joe Burrow, 9-1. Josh Allen, 14-1, and Trevor Lawrence, 19-1. That's everybody below 20-1 here with a legitimate chance to win this. Now, typically you would say to yourself, because again, the MVP is based on team, is based on your performance, individual performance, record settings, not, you get the picture here. Because MVP is not, hey, the best player overall in the league. Well, it's always going to be Patrick Mahomes. If you had a draft right now, you know, hey, okay, first round pick. Let's just say the Seattle Seahawks have it. Yeah, they're going to take Patrick Mahomes because he's the best player in the NFL. That doesn't necessarily win MVP because all those years with Shaquille O'Neal and Michael Jordan, like Michael Jordan played a long time in the NBA. He didn't win MVP every single year. You get my picture? You get my drift, I should say? But if you had a first-round draft pick, you would use it every year on Michael Jordan in the 80s and the 90s. It just doesn't work out that way. Now, looking overall at the odds, because again, Patrick Mahomes is having a good season, not record-breaking that we're used to, like, oh, he's on pace to do something we've never seen before. Jalen Hurts is having a very good season for the Philadelphia Eagles. Turnover's a little bit high, but the team has the best record in the NFL, and he's really been throwing the football effectively, if you line up last year to this year, and still those running touchdowns are starting to add up. Lamar Jackson, plus 500. His offense looks tremendous, but you know what he's doing in that offense? Handing the football off on the goal line. So he's not stealing anything. Hey, Lamar's going to throw for 35 touchdowns this year, or Lamar's going to run for 20 touchdowns this year. Spreading the wealth there. Tua Tagovailoa, 6-3 on the season, Miami. In the six wins, he looks unbelievable. They look unbeatable. But they're bad football teams. In the three teams, they level up in competition, smashed by Buffalo, smashed by the Eagles. And you want to say, oh, don't, well, they only lost by 7 overseas to the Kansas City Chiefs. Stop the madness. They were down 21-0 in that football game. Now, the next guy in line has a legitimate chance to steal this MVP. That's Joe Burrow at 9-1. Because it looks like all his faculties are back underneath him here. We're not worried anymore about a leg injury, about a, you know, a liver injury, whatever, appendectomies, whatever he's had in the past, knee injuries. He looks like he's fine and well. And they're starting to take off. Back-to-back big-time victories. They're going to face an upstart Houston Texans team this weekend. Now, all eyes right now technically aren't on Joe Burrow. It's going to be okay. Ja'Marr Chase is going to be healthy enough to play in this football game as he's battling a back injury. Was limited in practice today on a Wednesday. But he says it's painful. He's going to try to fight through it. But Joe Burrow has really hit the gas pedal here. And again, they started off this season with me multiple times on this network yelling out, it's a wrap. They can't even win this season. They won't make the playoffs. Fast forward a few weeks, they're back to 2022 Cincinnati Bengals football action. The offense looks really good. The defense is starting to turn the corner. So I think Joe Burrow, if they continue, and again, Lamar Jackson is up there to 5-1 price, because right now, a lot of people tell you Baltimore might be the best team in the NFL. Forget the records where the Eagles have the best record. But if you're looking at playing the best football, convincing football, the Baltimore Ravens have really been doing a good job of that, particularly at home, putting away good football teams, as they did to the Seattle Seahawks, as they did to the Detroit Lions. Josh Allen at 14-1. His metric numbers look fantastic, but you just take a look at the Buffalo Bills and you say to yourself, something is missing from that team. And not necessarily being something missing, meaning a quarterback. He's been fine. They're 5-4. The 5-4 Buffalo Bills. But yet Josh Allen is still in the top 6 here in MVP voting. You take a look at Trevor Lawrence. He's sitting here at a 19-1 price. Maybe the hottest team in football, 5 wins in a row. And by the way, when you take a look at like elimination type situations, right, as I like to say, which would mean, you know, teams playing teams, quarterbacks playing quarterbacks, right? Trevor Lawrence is going toe-to-toe this week with Brock Purdy, who's a 34-1. Also, you take a look here at Christian McCaffrey, 29-1. Who's going to have the big football game there for us? Is it going to be Brock Purdy through the air? Is it going to be Christian McCaffrey on the ground? Or is it going to be Trevor Lawrence at a 19-1 price currently now to win MVP? Because let me tell you something here. If Trevor Lawrence goes out on that football field, wheels and deals against one of the better defenses in the NFL, which the 49ers have, you better watch out. Trevor Lawrence is not going to be 19-1 too much longer here. He is going to start to move up and also starting to be a player in the AFC Championship race. Yeah, that's going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars at that point. That's going to be something to watch here. So make sure you keep an eye on Trevor Lawrence this weekend versus both Christian McCaffrey and Brock Purdy in the odds market here in the AFC. Now, a little bit farther down that list, Jared Goff at 40-1, Dak Prescott at 45-1, Tyreek Hill at 50-1, Justin Herbert at 50-1. It's pretty crazy here as we take a look. Because I don't think Jared Goff's going to be in that list. I don't think Dak Prescott's going to be on that list. I don't think Tyreek Hill can actually win MVP. How about A.J. Brown, though, who is scorching the earth at 130-1 right now to win MVP? It's a shame that we usually can't win the MVP unless we are a quarterback and sometimes every millennium a running back here. So A.J. Brown at 130-1, is there value there? Is there an opportunity here for him to win it? Can he continue to go off? And if he does, that might be just enough to get him up in that top 10 in the MVP race. Now also, here's the downside of it, right? Well, if A.J. Brown's putting up big statistics, that probably means the Philadelphia Eagles continue to win a lot of football games, and who is their quarterback? Yeah, it's Jalen Hurts at a plus 320 price. So unless Jalen Hurts is throwing all of his touchdowns and all of his yards over to A.J. Brown, that's going to be a tough one to overcome here. So that's just some thoughts here on the MVP market, which I said, it's really been up for grabs. It really is here this season. Usually there's maybe one, two, or three that you say to yourself, these are the MVP candidates. These are going to do battle down the final 7, 8, 9 weeks of the season. And it's only going to come from these guys. And maybe it just comes down to who is actually going to get hurt and who is going to actually stay healthy here. But as you break it all down, Joe Burrow is that dark horse now at 9-1. Christian McCaffrey at 29-1. Let's just say the Niners go down and beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. And McCaffrey scores another 2 touchdowns and combined rushing and receiving over 120 yards this weekend. He's going to move up that ladder. Why? He's probably going to overtake Trevor Lawrence there. So much to get to on a Wednesday afternoon right here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Donnie Wrightside, and this is Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Shout out to the people listening in to the Sports Grid Network right now and Moneyline. Yeah, that's what we do on a Wednesday, man. Have some fun. Pass that along till we get to coast coming up next with, I don't know, Scott Ferrellin today on a Wednesday. Maybe a little Lisi action, maybe a little Carver action today. But certainly must or can't miss radio, as we like to thought. But let's see. Let me take a look here. NBA action tonight, by the way. Take a look at some of the projections here for rebounds tonight. And as I told you guys, I really like Ben Simmons. It looks like he's at 10.2 rebounds tonight. So I think he does get his 10. But the leading rebounder tonight, it looks like it's supposed to be Nikola Jokic. Jokic, by the way, I saw a triple-double. He's basically plus money for a triple-double tonight against the Golden State Warriors. Expected to have 28, 14, and 9. So it looks like it's just short of that, which is absolutely incredible. Projections on his points, rebounds, and assists tonight, close to 52 combined. He is a machine out there on the court. Absolute machine. Top assist guys tonight. Tyrese Halliburton for Indiana. Nikola Jokic, of course, just under 10 with the Denver Nuggets. Chris Paul of the Golden State Warriors in that same game has an assist number of around 9 years of projection. Luka Doncic, by the way, I think has a big night, too, against Toronto. His projection's around 30 points, 9 rebounds, and 9 assists. I mean, there's some guys in the NBA that are absolutely incredible here. Damian Lillard tonight. Let me see about this. So what about the top 3-point guys tonight in the marketplace? He's got to be up there somewhere. He shoots a ton of them. Expected to have around 3.5 3-point shots made. Klay Thompson around 3 made. Tyler Hero. That's another guy, by the way. Just click on a little Tyler Hero report here. 3-point shots for him. 2 of 10 last game out. 4 of 7 the game before that. 6 of 10. So he's making at least 2 every single game. And the reason I'm bringing this up here quickly to hit the NFL market is I know Moose called in and wanted maybe a shot here to take a look at some of the 3-point markets, or excuse me, another prop that you can go along with Ben Simmons. Let me just take a look. So we got Miami at Memphis. That game is supposed to start, I believe, at 8 o'clock, so 8:10 p.m. tonight. Let's take a look at 3-point shots made for the player. See, it's a little tough. It's 3.5 at a plus 100. So if you go down here and say to make 2, it's a minus 1,000 to make 2 of those. So how about let's go to 3 3-point shots made. All right, that's doable. So there you go, Moose. You take a minus 270 on Tyler Hero to make 3 or more 3-point shots, pair it up with Ben Simmons, get a nice little payout on the back end on that one. So there you go. Maybe a little Tyler Hero shot for you tonight in the NBA. But let's take a look at some of the NFL action. The final segment, we'll go over the NBA card to see what looks good here and sort of pick out some of those lines that you know as well as I do when you take a look at the NBA. Like, that line doesn't make too much sense. So make sure JP behind the wheels of steel there is coming up with a line he likes tonight. We'll certainly get some JP picks in the final segment of the day today. Thursday Night Football, guys, it's not going to be a great one. But you know what's going to be great here at the Sports Grid Network? Myself, Donnie Wrightside, Joe Lisi, and Kevin Walsh live from the Bellworks studio getting you primed for that Thursday night game. You know we like to do that. We have a lot of fun. And also, added in a second hour, we're basically going to sit through that first quarter with you guys before we hand it over to In-Game Live and sort of carry it over. In-game bets, because I know I saw here on the FanDuel Sportsbook, it looks like they're starting to switch here, which I don't like, to be honest. I love a good 50% odds boost or profit boost to use on a parlay. I knock down some numbers. You still get a great price, 4, 5, 6, 7 to ones. You can hit those. But it looks like they're going to go with a 30% profit boost in-game live action. So a parlay in-game live, not before the game starts. And we'll be able to fire away one of those with maybe some of the vibes that we get out of that football game. So keep in mind there. Big game in the AFC North this weekend. I'm pretty confident in this one, by the way. Cleveland and Baltimore. Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, the spread's currently sitting at 6 across the board, up from 5.5. The total has been dropping. Now, if you want to look at those two defenses, they're eating people right now, scoring-wise and playing well. But I got to tell you, Baltimore and Cleveland, I don't see it as a 14-10 game. I'm sorry. 17-14. No, I don't. I think both of those offenses can get into the 20s in that football game, which will give you a legitimate shot at that 38 that's out there at most outlets. BetMGM, PointsBet, Bet365. See them out there. 38.5. So it looks like FanDuel and DraftKings currently here. So just a quick snapshot of that football game. I like Baltimore to win by a touchdown. I do. I think they're better than the Cleveland Browns. I know you can't take anything away from game number one where you have backup quarterbacks out there and Baltimore smashed them. But Deshaun Watson, again, good that he came back last week to sort of work off the cobwebs, throws a couple touchdown passes, gets those good vibes back. But to me, the Baltimore Ravens are the better team. I think they'll handle their business and cover that 7 points here. Other games that we'd like to talk about here. Started to bring it up, you know, Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey versus Trevor Lawrence, a big MVP battle. It's going to go a long way to decide some things here. 45.5 is the number in this game as a total. Other outlets reporting back at 46 and 46.5. So that seems to be on the move. San Francisco's lost 3 games here. We know they're a good football team. They lost to some bad football teams, though, or teams I should say they should have beaten here. Get a bye week to get healthy. Maybe they get Trent Williams back on the outside. Maybe they get Debo Samuel back. That's certainly going to help. But also, sort of that, you know, introspection where you want to take some time to see what you've been doing wrong over the 3 weeks, and that's what you should be able to do on the bye week. However, Jacksonville is getting that same bye week here. So these two teams should be fresh by the time they take the field 1 o'clock Eastern on Sunday afternoon. And I got to tell you, San Francisco as a favorite is a little bit puzzling to me. Before the season, if you would have said, what's this line going to be? Yeah, that makes some sense, San Francisco -3. But the fact that Jacksonville's really turned the corner on this season, has been playing very good football, is at home, and has a lot of talent, I'm leaning on that +3 early in the week. I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's easy to take San Francisco, right? Like, hey, just go on the road, win a football game, you'll probably get the cover. I hear you on that. But I don't think Jacksonville's that walkover team, even though you'll hear me say, you know, Jacksonville technically still learning on the fly right now how to win football games and close football games. That's 5 straight wins for them. And a bye week at home in their own building. They're going to be ready to rock. Doug Peterson's a good coach here. You know, as I said, Trevor Lawrence is a very good quarterback. You have the weapons all over the place on Jacksonville. The question is going to be, if we're getting a healthy offense for San Francisco, can Jacksonville keep up? That's going to be the name of the game in that one. Another 1 o'clock game this Sunday we're going to take a look at quickly today. Green Bay and Pittsburgh. The line is 3 across the board. Opened up at 2.5. I'm upset I actually missed the 2.5. But I think the Pittsburgh Steelers clown Green Bay. And I don't mean 31-10, right? I'm just talking about a nice, comfortable touchdown win in this game where Pittsburgh doesn't have to sweat. Hey, Pittsburgh, don't go out and do the things that you've been doing in the past couple weeks. Play awful garbage football and somehow at the end of the game, the scoreboard says the Pittsburgh Steelers won. Have a clean football game and you can do that against Green Bay. The Green Bay offensive line isn't very good. The wide receivers are absolutely invisible. And Jordan Love is struggling to read defenses now. That's where we're at here with the Green Bay Packers. I have no idea why the Green Bay Packers here are only getting 3 points. Here's the tough part about it, right? We take a look at spread ticket percentages. It's heavy on Pittsburgh. It's 84%. So roughly 8.5 tickets out of 10 are being written on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, granted, fading the public is probably the best barometer if you just want a blind bet in the NFL. I'm not going to lie. You're not going to hurt yourself. Because there's only one game day basically a week. Now, granted, I know they do play on Thursday and Monday. But the majority of the games are played on Sunday. That's where you're betting these games at. People are already seeing that line, just like myself, going like, I think Pittsburgh throttles Green Bay. And then you say to yourself, well, if home field advantage roughly is a 3, what the heck is going on here? Well, that's how bad Pittsburgh has been technically on offense with Matt Canada. Kenny Pickett should be able to step up in this game. He's not going against a nasty defense in this game. Green Bay's offense isn't going to stress out the Pittsburgh defense. They're bad on offense here. So looking early in the week here, I really like the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, as I told you before, this Sunday afternoon, there's a layup in the NFL at 4:25 p.m. That's the New York Giants, and that's the Dallas Cowboys. 16.5 is the prevailing number. Now, we're headed into Week 10 in the NFL. And for me, I got to say, I don't know if I've been, it has to be at least a decade since I got to Week 10 in an eliminator slash suicide pool, right? It's been a while. And it seemed relatively easy with paint by numbers each week. And I'm not going to say to myself, hey, you know what? Let me just bet somebody else this weekend to save the Dallas Cowboys. No, this is an easy victory for the Dallas Cowboys. Why wouldn't I should like to say, waste that at this point? I'm not going to do that. I'm burning up the Cowboys this weekend. This is exactly what you save them for. In Week 10, you just say, oh, I got a bye week in Week 3, Week 4. I want to save teams. Like, no, you're in Week 10, man. You got a layup. Go ahead and absolutely use it. That's the way to go. So that's where I'm going this weekend, in that pool. But other games across the world, the 4 Club. See, the NFL gave us, and I told you this before, they really spoiled us last week by giving us an unbelievable overseas game to start the day. At least, let's just say at least on paper, right? They gave us a really good 1 o'clock spot. Turned out to be a blowout, but you were excited for Baltimore and Seattle. 4:25, they gave you the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys, the most watched television show since the Super Bowl. Think about that. That was fun, too. Came right down to the wire. Exciting stuff. Rivalry game. The NFL just brings in monster ratings. But that was the most watched television show since the Super Bowl. And by the way, you know who played in the Super Bowl? Yeah, Philadelphia Eagles. Who else played in the other high-rated game? Yeah, Philadelphia Eagles, Dallas Cowboys. There you go, people. Ching, ching. National audiences. Now, granted, Dallas always is at 4:25 and garners a big national audience. Why? The country is going to root for them. And the country is going to root for them to fail. It's the perfect matchup here. But as I said, we got a great early game last week. This week, Colts-Patriots. Horrendous. 1 o'clock hour is not bad, though, by the way. San Francisco-Jacksonville. Houston-Cincinnati is going to be entertaining. Cleveland and Baltimore will do the same thing. I told you, I already like the Pittsburgh-Green Bay game. That should be a competitive game to watch. Tennessee-Tampa Bay is not a great game, but line is 1. 4 o'clock. Oh, boy. Atlanta and Arizona. Maybe something you can watch in that game is Kyler Murray, the return that we anticipate. 4:05, however, is the only worth-watching game of that 4 o'clock hour. Detroit and Los Angeles. Not the Rams, the Chargers. The Chargers maybe get a little bit of extra boost, couple wins in a row here. And also, Detroit. Hey, Detroit. You want to be considered with the elite in the NFC? These are must-win games for you. Detroit is favored against the Chargers by 3 points on the road out there in Los Angeles. The total is 48.5. And by the way, that game should go over the total. I know the Chargers didn't have to show up on offense because they got a punt return touchdown, a strip sack fumble that put them, what, at the 1 or 2 yard line, which I believe Eckler ran in after that. They didn't have to do much on offense at all. They're going to have to do something against Detroit here. We're not worried about any weather conditions because we're going to have a dome out there in Los Angeles. That one should be a fun one to watch. But the 8:20 game tonight, and you saw, I believe it was last week, maybe it was an Adam Schefter tweet. And by the way, the NFL is not going to switch out the Jets in Las Vegas for any other game. They're just going to let that roll. Come on now. That is the exact reason why flex games are supposed to happen. The Jets and the Raiders should not be a standalone game. That's a horrendous football game. You're not going to put Cleveland, Baltimore in that spot. You're not going to put San Francisco, Jacksonville in that spot. You're not going to put Detroit and the Chargers in that spot just to give us something to watch. Boy, that's a missed opportunity by the NFL. But you know what they always know? We'll still watch that game, and they are 100% correct here. Final segment coming up. JP's going to chime in here where he's going, and maybe the NBA, maybe Maction tonight. We'll never know. Oh, yes, we will. We'll find out in the next segment. Donnie Wright's out here, right on the grid. Be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
News just came down here, which is always fun. Big change to the NFL draft process. The league informed clubs today that underclassmen will now be eligible for college football all-star games. So what does that mean? The Senior Bowl, juniors can play in it. Make it make some sense here, people. Make it make some sense here. But that's just the way it is across the sports landscape. Now, the NBA has a massive card tonight. Starting at 7 o'clock with three games, the Wizards, Hornets, Celtics, Sixers, and the Jazz Pacers, all the way through to the nightcap, which is the Golden State Warriors and the Denver Nuggets. Looks like Jamal Murray's not going to be available tonight for the Denver Nuggets, sitting this one out with a hamstring injury. Jokic will be there, but also a personal game. You know, just so you get that in life, you call him for a personal day at work. Well, Draymond Green is doing the same thing here tonight, it looks like, with the Golden State Warriors. Needs a personal night tonight early in the season. So we're going to get some plays here together. I already told you, I like Ben Simmons over 10 rebounds tonight for the Brooklyn Nets. Also, you could pair him up here in a couple different parlays. Tyler Hero with the over 3 3-point shots made tonight for the Miami Heat. But also, JP behind the wheels of steel. He's always ready to give out some action and some plays, JP. What do you got today?
Yeah, you know it. I'm going with Desmond Bane over the 25.5. They are running out of bodies on that roster. He took 27 shots last game. Let's get it.
There you go. So Bane to come up big here. And I guess it's going to be Bane, and more Bane because of the pain of not having their leader in the clubhouse there, Ja Morant, for any of these basketball games. Tough scene for the Memphis Grizzlies. One of those teams you thought would be on the up and up in the NBA, struggling a little bit to start this season out, but waiting for Ja Morant to get out. Now, tomorrow, again, like he's just like, hey, man, we're going to have a banger of a Thursday night football game. That's really not the case. Bryce Young, Tyson Bagent. Yeah, look, take a look at this. The proper games this weekend that are in slots that you're supposed to excel. Carolina, Chicago, Bryce Young, Tyson Bagent. Colts are going to run out Gardner Minshew in a primetime game, which is technically primetime. It's a 9:30 game a.m. Eastern overseas versus Mac Jones. Sunday night football is Zach Wilson and Aiden O'Connell. At least Monday night football, it's Russell Wilson and Josh Allen. By the way, I do think that game goes over, and I do think the Denver Broncos cover against Buffalo. How about that? But that'll do it for the show today. Kevin Walsh will be back to join me tomorrow on another episode of Moneyline for JP and the boys. We're out of here. See you tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.